perfectly understandable that many, many South Africans are deeply cynical about government's actions in the last week to bring private sector investors into things like energy and SAA. The president announced on Thursday that companies would be able to generate as much as 100 megawatts of their own power and even feed excess energy onto the grid, while on Friday, the Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan gave away more than half of SAA to a private consortium. Today, a message from James Formby, the chief executive at RMB. South Africa should urgently expedite economic reform. James Formby, welcome to The Money Show this evening. Have we begun that process? I mean, do you see last week's moves at all as positives?
Good evening, Bruce, and to the listeners, and also my condolences to the Mabuza family. I think we must take what happened last week very positively. But I guess the message I was trying to send was, you know, a couple of swallows doesn't make a summer, and it's really important that we all together, government and private the private sector, expedite this and actually do quite a lot more to build on the momentum that was clearly started a week ago. So positive start, but I think there's a number of areas where there really can be some similar action which wouldn't cost the taxpayer money and actually get a lot of progress in our economy.
Government doesn't naturally fall over itself to make big decisions. It really does seem to wait for the last chance saloon to close its doors and the sign to fall off the front and begin for the tumbleweed to blow through town before it takes so many decisions that those of us outside of government look at as being blindingly obvious. And SAA, blindingly obvious. Allowing private sector energy provision, blindingly obvious. I mean, it's deeply frustrating that we have to go to the brink before making big decisions.
Yeah, Bruce, I think it's fair to say that, you know, there was obviously lobbying for some period of time on the energy decision and the SAA matters being very well publicized. But what is good is that these decisions have happened now. And I really think that if government, builds on this with a few other, a focus on a few other key areas, the telecom spectrum, that's something that's been sort of hanging in the balance for many years now. Obviously, March 31 was a big deadline that came and went. But these are the kind of topics that I think with a similar kind of focus, we could make progress. South Africans have actually normally accomplished a lot more by sitting around a table than sitting in a courtroom. And I think that this is a good example where actually sitting around a table with some of the telcos leaders and some of the senior leaders in government could actually reach an outcome which would stop this lengthy legal process and actually get to some real progress.
No, exactly. And we know what is possible when we put our heads together rather than run at each other from a short distance and bash our heads together. When it comes to business models, though, I mean, in your experience, this idea of public and private partnerships, does it work? And I'll throw the telecom example at you. And somebody posted a comment the other day saying in 1994, there was a Department of Posts and Telecommunications. It was split into two entities, one the post office and two telecom. Post office stayed completely in government control. Telecom was listed with private shareholders and its outcomes are considerably better than its former stablemates. It does strike me that there are models that we can base the future on.
Yes, I think the fact that government reduced its stake in Telkom but retained an interest has been a great example. I think Telkom, the recent results showed how successful it's been in transforming itself. And it's not done that once, but a couple of times as this fast-moving industry has evolved. And, you know, I think in those kind of, particularly in industries like that, but more generally, it's vital that, government sticks to enabling, creating the right enabling environment and actually attracting great business leaders in to lead businesses like Telkom and help grow them in a highly competitive environment. And so, you know, it's good to see what's happened at SAA, and I'd really hope that the model can actually be replicated, you know, in some of the other examples, because you've pointed out the post office. I think it is deeply struggling, and yet it's got an amazing potential in a world where with the right strategic partner, I think it could actually do a lot better.
James Formby, thank you. Chief Executive at Rand Merchant Bank this evening. Yeah, just reflecting on those big, very big steps. Let's not play down the size and the scale of the steps. But I think a lot of you are fairly cynical about government's intent and the fact that it holds on so long before capitulating to the inevitable. I think that's what you find so frustrating. It's 73 millimeters long. That's what, 7.3 centimeters long. So it could fit in the palm of your hand. It's 52 millimeters wide, 5 centimeters wide, 27 millimeters thick. It weighs 1,098 carats. A 1,098 carat diamond being discovered in Botswana. It's believed to be the third biggest ever gem quality stone ever mined. Government in Botswana, it gets something like 80% of the income from Debswana's sales through dividends, royalties and taxes. And Debswana is this joint venture between De Beers, owned by Anglo-American, and the Botswana government. And they had a rough year. I mean, their diamond demand fell off a cliff literally last year. And so production of Debswana fell by more than a quarter in 2020. They still produce 16.6 million carats of diamonds, by the way. Sales were also down about 30% to $2.1 billion, pandemic impacting both production and demand worldwide. But we're beginning to see the demand for luxury goods pick up. We're beginning to see the demand for all kinds of products lift as well. And it's a really exciting discovery, this enormous diamond. You could just imagine holding over 1,000 carats of diamond in the palm of your hand, 7 centimeters long, 55 centimeters wide, and 2.5 centimeters thick. I mean, that's a proper, proper diamond discovery in Botswana.